This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, one of the areas that most economists agree on when it comes to growing the economy, no pun intended, is agriculture and the agri-processing industries. But the fact is that the country's drought is starting to cost the sector billions of rands. It's threatening the livelihoods of South African farmers and workers. And we've got government saying that a water crisis master plan is in the works. Is it a little bit too late, though? Well, to talk about the immediate and pressing issue of drought relief and also how we can grow the sector and position it to take advantage of things like this African Continental Free Trade Area that's got people really excited, I'm joined now by Omri Vansel, who's AgriSA's Executive Director. I've also got in studio Dr. Sifiso Ntombela, Chief Economist responsible for Trade Research and Economic Modelling at the National Agricultural Marketing Council, and also on the line, Dr. Tulasizwe Mkabela, who is an agricultural economist and group executive for impact and partnerships at the Agricultural Research Council. Thank you, gentlemen. Omri, just kick us off here. AgriSA released its drought report today. How bad is it for our farmers, who are a resilient bunch, but even they are seemingly suffering following 4 years of terrible weather?
Yeah, Michael, I mean, climate change is a reality, and it's something that's not going to go away soon. I mean, we're seeing four provinces at the moment that are severely constrained by the drought, and that where we are experiencing really adverse conditions with regards to animal production, horticulture, and agronomy. So we're looking forward. I mean, we came to 2016 okay-ish, but this has been an extended drought now, and something that's not unique to South Africa. I mean, Australia had the same, America and in California they have the same occurrence. So we're going to have to be smarter in terms of managing our own farming activities, as well as water management and water distribution, to make sure that we remain internationally competitive in food secure.
And that's really what this boils down to, is adapting to this new normal. Dr. Mkabela, as the Agricultural Research Council, obviously you've got a big part to play to help farmers, to help through the value chain to adapt to this.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. Yes, that's true. As the ARC, we have a lot of information that pertains to the weather changes and the climate change, as it were, and we can definitely assist farmers with that. And we've been almost saying this on a daily basis, that climate change is upon us, the weather is changing, and the new normal, as you call it, is something that we have to adapt with, and technology will assist our farmers adapt to that.
Are we spending enough, though, on our R&D? Because the reports that I'm reading show that the spending on R&D is dwindling, and we know that budgets across the government and associated entities are very tight. But now we're really starting to feel the impacts, aren't we?
Yes, we are. In fact, yeah, it's a cumulative effect of reduced spending over the years, especially public spending on agriculture and research and development. And without sufficient funding, organizations like the ARC find it very difficult to do the research that can really assist farmers, because there's what people call a public good, which means a farmer can just come, ask for the information and get it without paying for it. And it's becoming extremely difficult for us as the ARC to provide that kind of information to farmers, because it is the organization is not adequately funded to do that research.
Dr. Ntombela, you've recently released a position paper on the African Continental Free Trade Area, and while we quite clearly need to assist our farmers now and ensure that we build more resilience into the sector to deal with increasing variabilities, it's so difficult to predict. I think that's one thing with climate change, is it's increasingly difficult to predict the sort of seasonal rainfall that we're going to get. What opportunities are there to explore through this African Continental Free Trade Area?
I think there's ample amount of opportunities that you can see, especially for the agricultural sector within the rest of the continent. If you're looking at any kind of economic measure, you realize that the African continent itself, you are looking at about 1 billion population. So that's how big the consumption will be and will continue growing. And even if the youngest people are situated within that continent, but you also have a very high level of income rises that are happening within the sector or within the continent itself. So now this Continental Free Trade Agreement, what it does, it creates that single market for all the entrepreneurs in the continent to operate, and also the free movement of investment and business people. So what we're seeing, South Africa is actually standing at a better position place as comparison with other African partners, because we have relatively good agricultural system in place. We also have, in comparison with other countries, we also have a better agro-processing capacity that we are able to add value in some of these commodities and be able to export it into the rest of the continent, where we know that the capability of producing such food are not as good as compared to ourselves here. So, but also we shouldn't also just look at the African continent and this trade agreement as just another opportunity to send the commodities, but it also present an opportunity to say, how do you strengthen relations working together, and also investment in other areas, and also exporting the most critical part, which I think also Dr. Mkabla talked about, the skill and the technical know-how that we have acquired over ages of research and practices and test and trial errors within the agriculture sector that can benefit the rest of the continent that are looking forward to get onto those things. So I think that will be the potential that is the country need to take step forward and be the leader in ensuring that they plan.
And obviously here, Omri, to bring you in, I was chatting to Rolf Meyer of the Public Private Growth Initiative last week, and he said particularly within the agricultural sector, there is a whole possibility and opportunity here and scope for new and emerging farmers to partner, to meet with existing commercial farmers who are willing to share their expertise and knowledge. And this is all part of how we build more resilience into our agricultural sector as a whole. Do you feel that, on the other hand, though, government is providing enough support, is providing enough help to our farmers to ensure that they're more resilient to the current drought that they're experiencing?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, you know, food security is our mission as AgriSA, to make sure that South Africa remains the most food secure country in Africa, and to help our neighbors in terms of food production and remain internationally competitive. So there's a massive opportunity to get agrarian reform going with an inclusive growth agenda across various parts of our country, and to use those systems that the doctor was talking about, the value chains that we've built up, the agro-processing that we've built up. I mean, we are by far the market leaders in Africa in that space. But that is something that's a massive opportunity that we can capitalize on, and it's an asset to South Africa. So we see that, we see a very strong play in that space to make sure that we expand our investment platforms. We get much more foreign direct investment into our sector. But you know, what is important is that we remain resilient and we remain productive. And I think our farmers are quick adapters of technology. We would benchmark with the Americans or the Europeans any day of the week in terms of industrial agriculture. And I see that is the future of African agriculture and food security.
Yeah, I was chatting to a very interesting startup on the show not too long ago, Aerobotics, using drone technology and spectrometry to help macadamia nut farmers improve their yield. So we certainly are world leading there. Dr. Mkabela, just to come back to this issue of R&D, though, we are not spending enough on R&D. How much would you like to see us, in terms of percentages, spending on R&D in the agricultural sector?
Thank you very much for the question. Is that what the recent studies are showing, that if spending on R&D were to be increased by at least 12% over the what I would call the baseline, which is the values in 2011, we would see a massive increase in agricultural productivity, and we would get to levels even beyond, levels higher than what we were in 2011, and that will have a good economic spin-off into the whole sector. and in beyond that, et cetera, et cetera. So we're looking at about 12% increase in spending.
12% increase doesn't seem to be too much to be asked. That is so critical and so vitally important, employs 880,000 people, and is one of those that's identified in the Treasury paper as those sectors that have a massive potential to create much more employment and certainly be leveraged, Dr. Ntombela, to your point, to take advantage of those opportunities in the African continental free trade area. Is this what government's tapping into your expertise and knowledge about?
Certainly, there's a complete shift now and a recognition to say you have to have a comprehensive approach in dealing with some of the challenges that are facing the sector as its own, so that you can able to grow it in the inclusive basis. And one of the areas is twofold, especially when you have to be able to boost that innovative and technological capacity of it, especially if we are to be standing any chance of surviving under climate-constrained environment that we know very well now. It's going to be probably one of the biggest risks facing the sector in the 21st century. But we're also having the issues now of this fourth industrial revolution, where technology and precision agriculture becomes the key and probably the factor that will determine who becomes the most competitive guy in the country. So all those things, you can only do that if you have a good access and well-funded R&D program within your national project, so that farmers have access into these equipments and they're better equipped to make decisions that will make them competitive in the sector.
Yeah, it is about time the government steps up to the plate and starts supporting the agricultural sector. So certainly no doubts that climate change is impacting our weather prediction models, which are becoming almost impossible to use to predict weather pattern changes. So we really have to throw everything we can at this. Dr. Sifiso Ntombela, Chief Economist at the National Agricultural Marketing Council, thank you so much for joining. Dr. Tula Sizwe Mkabela, Agriculturalist at the Agricultural Research Council, and Omri Fonsel, AgriSA's Executive Director. That's a wrap from the team tonight. Sylvia A is in the Jazz Lounge in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Stain is sidling up next with Winding Down. Good night.